as long as they have people in fear, they can convince them that, you know, if we do these things and we invade your privacy, you're going to be safer and much better off. But in reality, you're not. You're just even more prone to terrorism from the state and more repression from the state, more repression from the government.
Sherman Austin will remain in a halfway house for several weeks and on probation for 3 years. You've been listening to Free Speech Radio News. I'm Aura Bogado.
All right, just so everybody knows, I was on time. The show ended early, so yeah, it's 6 o'clock on the nose on a Tuesday night. That means it's time for Off the Wall. Very good evening to everybody. Off the Wall is back. Manuel Goldstein here with you. And yes, I'm alive. We survived the last weekend of the Fifth Hope. Well, that sounds biblical, doesn't it? Yes, the last weekend of the Fifth Hope, which took place in New York City. So if you're really interested in going, well, you're too late now because it's over. And boy, what a lot of fun we had. You might have even read about it. It was in the New York Times. Yeah, did you see the picture of Steve Wozniak standing in front of the Big Brother flag with his hands up in the air? Looked really interesting. New York Times, I think USA Today had something, a bunch of other newspapers. I'm not sure about TV. I haven't had much chance to even look at that. We have here in the studio with us some leftover people from the conference, people who are in town, from out of town. Well... A-Team, you're here from Florida. You were at the show. I can't hear you nod.
Yes.
All right. Yeah, very good. Very good. We only have one microphone, so you might hear some microphone noise as we, you know, pass it around so other people can say things. And Sasha, you're here from Holland.
Amsterdam. Yeah.
And just move that microphone, make as much possible noise as you can doing that.
Good, good.
And Hanukkah, you're also here from Amsterdam.
Yes, I'm here.
All right. So what do you guys think of the conference?
Oh, it's really good this time around. Last time was also really good, of course, but
this time I think it was just so much better organized as far as just dealing with things. All the speakers went off without a hitch, and people just had a great time. Don't worry about all this noise.
Two words, sleep deprivation.
Yeah, you know, I have to say, today, I only woke up a couple hours ago, so my voice still hasn't changed back. You know how your voice is different when you wake up? And you talk to people on the phone, and they're like, who is this? It's me. No, it's not. Who is this really? They don't, you know, and you don't know the difference, but your voice definitely does sound different.
Oh, yeah.
I'm still at that stage. Well, I could also be sick, too. That's also another possibility. It could be, you know, that could be why my voice is changing. Or it could finally be going through puberty. I don't know. Anything is possible. But, yeah, it feels like I'm jet-lagged right now. You know, when I go overseas to visit you guys and I come back, it takes a few days for me to get back on track. I have no problem going over. When I come back, though, that's when I get all confused. I feel that way now. I really do. Yeah, but in such a good way. Yeah. What were some of the highlights for you?
Well, highlights started actually on Thursday during build-up. There's, on the mailing list, a lot of discussion, okay, how are we going to set up stuff, etc. We need volunteers for that. And there's like one or two emails from volunteers. And that's like, okay, it's going to be a lot of work. And then you're there, and it's like...
Just on Thursday, we realized how much work it was going to be.
Yeah, well, but there was dozens of people helping there, and then you ask, like, okay, we're at the last conference. No, we didn't go to the last conference. It's our first time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually pretty amazed that people show up a day early before the conference to help set up a conference they have not been to before.
That made all the difference. It really did.
There's
all
so
the people,
many people
who just
help.
Showed up, and whenever there was a problem, whenever something needed to be dealt with, somebody was on top of it.
Yeah.
You know,
we need somebody
to be in this room to make sure that this person arrives safely on time, and someone would do it, you know, willingly, gladly.
Yeah, it was really good to see people just not idling, but actually asking, okay, can I help do something, and should I go somewhere else to ask if I can do something? It was really good.
I hope they all had fun, too. I hate to think of anybody being overworked at the conference.
Oh, no, I think a lot of people helped on Thursday and then enjoyed the conference during the conference and then actually helped again during break-off, so it was... Yeah, it was really good.
Now, ATM, if anybody was overworked, you'd be one of those people because you were helping to run the movie room the whole whole time. How did that go?
Well, my shifts were usually around 4 a.m. to about noon, so not exactly regular waking hours.
It's like Dunkin' Donuts hours or something.
Plus, I was never instructed on how to use half the equipment in there, so when something went wrong, it was like, okay.
You had to scream and holler for help.
I did impressions.
Well, yeah, it seemed to. And we had a good lineup of different films that we played all throughout, including North Korean propaganda. We were just looking at that a few minutes before the show. And, where do you get this stuff, Sasha?
I actually got it off of eBay, but there's, like, some guy selling a lot of North Korean propaganda movies. Some are translated in English and very interesting that way.
Uh-huh.
And we showed a video of the 55th anniversary of the North Korean Workers' Party, basically the Communist Party, parade, which was a two-hour parade in which over a million people took part. It's like all synchronized and everything, and that's just kind of scary in the way that there's a commentator commenting about it, and he's really psyched out about it and how good it is, and you just hear that he's...
Everyone's smiling.
Like, okay,
everyone looks so happy.
But it's kind of like, are they smiling, or are they smiling because if they're not smiling, they'll get shot.
But, so you know, if you always have that kind of a doubt, you never know if someone's truly happy.
That's
true. Are we saying that we're happy this last weekend because we really mean it, or is somebody forcing us to?
Well, it's just...
Somebody going to shoot us if you're not
sure. Someone could be waiting to do that. Who knows?
I think if you're happy during a conference, that's okay. But if you're happy 24-7 with a big smile on your face, it gets kind of scary, I think.
I think they're just happy for the video.
Yeah.
Well, and this video, it looks like it came out of the 50s, but it was made pretty recently, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it's from 92, 93 or something. And the parade is actually in New York, like from a couple of years back. But
is there any place that people can get something like this?
Ooh, I think if you go to eBay and search on North Korea and VHS or DVD, then you might be able to find some stuff. And I think the movie we showed was called Four Seasons of Pyongyang.
Yeah.
And if you Google on that, you'll find references to it and cheap places where you can get it.
We watched Winter before and all the people playing in the snow and it was having so much fun. You can't fake that.
Yeah,
you can't fake the joy of sledding down a hill.
Yeah, true.
I think those kids, those little three-year-old kids, were having fun.
Oh, yeah, they were.
And the commentator said that they wanted Winter to last for 12 months.
Yeah.
And sometimes they'll get that
wish. He's probably going to say that about summer and spring and autumn, too.
I think they asked the children, though.
No,
it's kind
of
assumed that they love winter so much.
Yeah. Well, okay, so that's an example of one of the films that we showed. Of course, we showed a lot more hacker-oriented type things, but I think hackers are curious about what other cultures are like, so that's one of the reasons why that played so well.
We also had the live feeds from the overflow. Some of the panels are too packed in the room, so people went to the movie room.
Yeah, Steve Wozniak, we sent him downstairs. We sent the video feed, and also, I don't know if we did it for Kevin, but we did it for
Michelle. I think we did, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But thanks to Ethan and Patrick for saying all that.
Yeah, you know, there's so many people to thank, but, you know, Ethan is one of these people that came up from, where did he come, Virginia?
I think so, because he had a Virginia Tech shirt, so I'd imagine.
Well, yeah, but lots of people have those who weren't from Virginia, but I'm pretty sure he was. But he just made all this video equipment work and do amazing things that we had never been able to do before, and at a moment's notice, it just all hooked together. It's great.
He actually, the whole thing was like shell script using the cat command. For video. And so we couldn't rewind or fast forward if something went wrong and the video crashed halfway, which sort of ran into some problems with that.
Well, a side effect of all this, too, is that we're going to have video and audio available online faster than ever before. So in the next couple of weeks,
it would be good to actually see some of the lectures. So.
I'd like to myself.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah. Even the ones I was on, I wasn't really there. I was busy doing other things on stage at the same time. But it'd be nice to see, you know, how it all played out in front of.
There's a lot of good comments from people who actually did see a lot of stuff. So that's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, I talked to so many people who had come into New York City, and this was either their first time or their second time, and just to know that it makes such a difference the way they see New York, the way they see what we do and what we stand for, and how we can put something together. It does change people's lives.
Oh, yeah.
That's such a good feeling to know that people are being actually affected by our efforts. And it's a good type of effect. So that's the kind of thing. That alone makes it worthwhile, makes us want to do it again.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I was at H2K2 for the first time 2 years ago, and I liked it so much. I've been to a lot of hacker conferences in Holland and in Germany. And I like this one so much because of the quality of the speeches that this year Actually, I didn't really have the time to go because I'm having an exam this Wednesday.
Oh, dear.
And
you should be studying.
It's actually tomorrow.
Wait a minute. You got an exam in Holland tomorrow?
Well, in Holland, it's almost today because of the time difference.
Isn't it already tomorrow there?
Yeah,
they're ahead of us.
So for Dutch standards,
six hours ahead.
So you have an exam today.
Yeah, but I did it a week early so I could come to New York and to go to the Fifth Hope.
Well, that's dedication.
Right. Oh, yes. And
some people drop out of school so they can be here. Well, that's the other end of the
year.
Well, I think I did the exam, and I think I passed it.
Well, that's good. Is there somebody we can call right now and find out live on the air?
I don't think so.
All right.
Well,
if you were part of the conference, the Hacker Conference took place in New York City this past weekend, we'd love to hear from you. Of course, we'll be doing a bigger retrospective tomorrow night and Off the Hook. If you're listening now and you want to say something about that, you're welcome to call us at 631-632-WUSB, 631-632-9872. And we'll take calls in a few minutes, so calling now probably isn't a good idea, but just keep in mind we'll probably be in about 10 minutes or so, 15 minutes, so we'll take some phone calls on that. So you guys are in town. What kinds of things have you done so far?
First couple of days, I just did all the touristy stuff and walked around Manhattan, and you have to see most of it. Like, otherwise, people back home start complaining that, oh, you should have gone there, you should have gone there, etc. So,
yeah, well, you should have.
Yeah, exactly. So, I had kind of like my small list to do all those stuff, those things, and then I had a lot of fun just going on the subway and getting off at a random stop, walking around for 10 minutes, and getting back on the subway, go to another random stop, and that way, you get to see where people, well, actually, there's people living there and not like just shops and offices. And that's, I think, a big part of what most people who go to New York see is basically Manhattan and that's it. And a lot of fun going to Brooklyn and...
You went to Brighton Beach?
Yeah, Brighton Beach.
What's that like? I don't think I've ever been there.
I thought it's a really strange part. I'm actually half Russian, half Dutch myself. Always lived in Holland, but it's really strange going to New York, which is basically the capital city financially wise of the US, and then you go there and go to a suburb and all the signs are basically in Russian and in English, and at some point you notice that on the street I think you're either African American or you're Russian. So there are stores handing out flyers on the street, and they don't give them to African Americans. Kind of like thinking, oh, they'll probably not read Russian anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're white, so they give you these flyers for selling cell phones or stuff like that, and it's all in Russian.
Mm-hmm.
And in stores, everybody speaks Russian to you.
It's kind of like, yeah, somebody bumped into me on the street and they didn't say excuse me, but he said like izvinite, which is like excuse me, but in Russian. And I thought it was so weird.
Move out of the way in Russian because
no, it's not move out of the way. They're actually
pretty
friendly.
When I was bumped into in Russia, that's what they said.
They basically just grunt, I think. Then if they bump into like, oh, and
if they said that to you, they were being polite.
Wow. Yeah, the service is kind of like up to the Russian level in some of the stores, though. But it's
That's one of the things I really like about New York is that you have all these different communities.
Oh, yeah.
and they will speak their language in that community, and you learn how.
Well, I think it's very interesting to see that from a European point of view, because there's a lot of discussion in Europe about how some neighborhoods in cities are turning out to be just like one ethnic group living there, and how bad that is and stuff like that. And here it's kind of evolved from that. Already that, yeah, well, people, yeah, it's Chinatown, that's where the Chinese people live, Brighton Beach is where the Russians live, and, yeah, there's no problem with that, it's just people know so, and it's okay.
Was it you, Hanukkah, that said that this was your first experience being racially profiled, or something, when they didn't hand you something, or they did hand you something?
Well, there was also being given the flyers in Russian,
mm-hmm.
And, that was quite funny. And I was 2 years ago we were there also, and I was in the shop and I was buying some Russian music, and I just give the pile of stuff that I wanted to buy to the lady at the counter, and she said something to me in Russian, so I just smiled, and then she said another thing, and I nodded, and the third thing I didn't understand, so I said sorry, and she looked all shocked, and then she started speaking English to me.
What had you agreed to beforehand?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question.
Well, not much.
Atim, you're here from Florida, and that's almost like a foreign country, too. In
pretty much.
Now, last week on Off the Hook, you made enemies of everybody in Staten Island. Let's work on Florida this week.
Okay.
well, it's just that there's so many different things. You live near Disneyland, right, or World, wherever it's called. Tell us some facts that we here in New York might not know about Florida, about the way of life there, and how people act. And
well, starting in Disney World in Orlando, Walt Disney, the company, actually owns a city. They actually run their own city. It's called Celebration. It's one of the scariest places on Earth.
The city is called... This sounds like North Korea. It's called Celebration?
Yes, Celebration. Okay. And it's Disney provided internet. Disney provided a school system. Everything is pretty scary. I don't know how I feel about going to a school where the Walt Disney Company was responsible for teaching me everything I needed to know.
That sounds scary.
Yeah, and it's quite scary.
These are real people that live there, not Disney employees.
Some of them are wearing costumes, but
wow.
We also convinced them that we were looking to buy a house there, so they showed us around.
Really?
So you got to see all the things that maybe you wouldn't ordinarily see if you visited.
Uh-huh. Do you know what the area code is down there?
In Orlando or Celebration?
What's Celebration?
I don't know.
Well, is it near Orlando?
It's in Orlando.
It's in Orlando. What's Orlando? Does anybody know?
Well, actually, I guess you could say it's not a city, but it might as well be. It's huge.
Well, let's find out.
It's like a gated community or something?
What city is it near?
It has it is gated, but it has... It's got everything, and it's huge. It could be it's probably the size of a small town.
All right, what?
I don't know.
What city is it near?
It's around Orlando.
Orlando and Orlando area code. Anybody know that?
No.
Nobody knows the area code. Well, wait, we have
a computer here.
Okay, we can look it up on the internet. You keep telling us about Florida, but not just Disneyland. Tell us about what your school is like and how they basically forbid you from thinking for yourself and various other things like that.
Okay. Yeah, they do. We were forced to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, and,
if you don't stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, what happens?
You usually get the slip to send you down to the office to talk to, one of the deans. They'll tell you how it's disrespectful.
Uh-huh.
And, so I usually don't stand, but if I'm forced to, I stand backwards, or with my...
And you basically... You also were chastised for wearing a peace shirt or something. What was that all about?
Yeah, my freshman year of high school, I one night I got a white T-shirt and just covered the entire thing in like all those popular pro-peace slogans and just pictures I was drawing, and I wore it to school the next day. maybe a mistake, maybe not.
Uh-huh.
So they sent me down to the dress code administrator woman. Who's
okay.
Is there actually somebody regarding dress code?
Yeah, we have a woman whose sole responsibility is to walk around and make sure people are in dress code. And if you're not, you get pulled aside. And
it's like North Korea.
Maybe. It's like North Korea.
Very much like North Korea.
Actually reminds me of Germany.
Well,
60 years ago.
Not recent Germany, that's for
yeah.
sure.
I think the scariest part of it is that there's actually somebody who has just that to do.
Yeah.
It's not like, okay, some teacher walks by and thinks, oh, that's probably not in the dress code, and then acts upon that. But there's somebody who gets hired to watch what kind
yeah,
of
she walks
children
around
wear.
And
all right, so you were found to be in violation. So
yeah,
what happened?
So I was in physical education class, which is not very fun.
Uh-huh.
And one of the deans said, come over here, kid. And I went over, and he's reading things on my T-shirt, and he said, that shirt's pretty heavy. I was like, how so? And basically, just, you know, escorted me down to the office, and I was told I couldn't actually defend myself. She said, I don't want to hear what you have to say. Take off your shirt and change it. And the shirt they wanted me to exchange it with was this one with a frog on it.
Wait, so they have a shirt that has a frog on it?
Well, they've got a chest of clothes. In case your clothes are in violation and you don't want to, you know, get sent home, you can replace your clothes with, I don't know where they get these clothes, but with those clothes.
With clothes that won't offend.
Yeah, because frogs are not offensive.
As a foreigner, may I ask how this clothing item relates to freedom of speech?
I told them that. Because I was prepared for this because I was reading about it. I was reading things about the ACLU, or not ACLU, yeah, ACLU, and things they've done. Kids who've sued their schools because they've done things like this. I wasn't about to do that because I think the money should go to education rather than in my pocket.
Well, you could always give it to education.
That's what I was
thinking.
I
think your school is
give it back as a direct donation instead of, like, that, you know.
How about this? How about you give it to the ACLU so that they can open a chapter inside your school? Doesn't the military have operations inside your school?
Many people do, including the Freemasons have a little plaque
the
at our school.
The Freemasons are inside your school?
Well, they probably are. We have a plaque that says, it says a donation received from the Free and Respected Masons of South Florida. And this is Spanish River Community High School in Boca Raton, Florida, by the way, in case anyone ever wants to go there. And
Now you've done it. You've named them live on the air.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy. Now it's, say it again slower, though.
Spanish River Community High School.
Spanish River Community High School, as opposed to what? A non-community high school?
Yeah, correct.
Okay.
And it's in Boca Raton, Florida.
Boca Raton, which is
on
one of the richest neighborhoods in the country, isn't it?
It's supposed to be one of the richest cities. Mm-hmm. I'm not really that rich.
You're on the other side of the tracks.
Yeah. Not really on the other side, but I'm not... No, I'm not, like, extremely wealthy.
Well, I mean, I just think it's amazing how somebody's able to survive that system. I mean, something must push you to rebel.
I ask myself that question
every
day.
Please tell me it's not just this radio program.
No. It started in sixth grade, maybe.
Sixth grade?
Maybe seventh.
Wow.
I don't know, middle school. So my middle school was, like, basically the same exact school except for children who are younger.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, you know. And we had a new principal 1 year, and she enforced a dress code. And we were like, what? No, we're not. We never had a dress code at the school. And, like, all 30 years it's been open. And all of a sudden this new principal comes along. And actually, when I left that school, that principal transferred over to my new school as to further bother me and to never give me peace.
She's stalking you.
Stalking you.
She is. She actually has been trying to do all kinds of things. She's threatened to take away our lunch if we don't pick up our trash. Which, you know, people should pick up their trash.
Mm-hmm.
But seriously, we need to eat.
So I don't think they could just take away your lunch.
They talked about this new program where you'd eat silently in your classroom, and it was really... I actually prefer eating in my classroom because I don't like eating outside in Boca
Raton. Isn't there like a Board of Health issue with eating inside classrooms? I don't know. That could be.
I don't know. But you said the military has operations in my school.
And what if you don't clean up in your classroom? Then what happens?
Up with your head.
You get rats and all kinds of things. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, about the military.
Yeah.
We have Marine and Army and Navy SEAL recruiters at our school pretty much every day. They have a table set up near the guidance counselor's office.
So it's not just one day a year, career day or something like that. They're
no,
always
but we also
around.
Have a date, one day of the year, where it's especially created for military, which is like Air Force Day or something. It happens around when the Air Force showdown where I live happens.
And do you have to go to that?
No, it's just the whole school's taken over by it. They pass out Air Force buttons, which I actually wore the whole day upside down as a thing.
Did anybody not catch it, or were they?
I think they thought it just flipped upside down.
Oh, yeah, of course.
But
try wearing a T-shirt on that day, see what happens.
I don't know. Off with your head. So they actually, with the recruiters, I've walked by before and asked them questions, like, have you ever
Have you killed anybody before? And they're like, well, you know how it is. This is so stupid. And they have this big SUV because the military loves to drive SUVs. They park it in the center of the school.
Mm-hmm.
And they open the trunk. And in the trunk, they've got like dual, like 50-inch, those high-definition televisions with speakers.
Pretty pimped out SUV.
Yeah, it's a pretty pimped out SUV. And,
how do most kids react to this?
Wow, cool, where do I enlist? And, you know, it's... Because they really target kids who are, you know,
they
terrible.
They can watch TV.
Yeah, and they tell them how you can travel the world and, you know, but traveling the world with a camera and a map is different than traveling the world with a gun and a camouflage uniform.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's point and shoot in a different context.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It certainly is.
Wow. So, I mean, does anybody object to this? When I went to school, this kind of thing was unheard of. Yeah, you object.
Well, I remember
you're going around wearing a shirt with a frog on it. No one's listening to you.
Oh, yeah, about that. Also, when they took me to change the shirt, they put me in this room because I said, well, can I at least change, you know, not in front of you?
Uh-huh.
So I opened the door. I was in that room. I opened the door. When she wasn't looking, I just picked up the pace and headed out and ran back to my class and left the frog shirt there.
You didn't put the frog shirt on?
Ooh. No.
That's like going AWOL. Wow, what happened? Did they lock the doors and do a room-to-room search?
No, worse. No, just kidding. Nothing happened. I was sent down there one other time, but the woman, the address code person, was not there, so they just
sent me back. Is that all she does, dress code?
Yes, Miss Weatherspoon is her name, in case you want to bother her.
How big is the school, though, that they have a person?
Very big.
For that?
It's so big that they actually can hardly enforce dress code because... See, the new principal I told you transferred over, she wants to also enforce a strict dress code. Oh, yeah, when I talk about my middle school, I didn't mean dress code as in, you know, can't wear tank tops. I meant, like, uniform dress code.
Mm-hmm.
So she wanted to bring that to our school this year, and basically the people who have been working there for 30 years or something have been saying, we've got too many kids, and not all of them are willing to do this because we've got a problem with individuality.
Well, I just find it amazing that, you know, in this day and age of budget cuts and just bad education where we really need help, that they can afford to employ somebody. It just goes around looking at clothing
and
passing judgment and things like that.
I mean, we can also have the military.
How about language police now? They'll go listening for inappropriate comments.
Well, you actually used to be able to speak a lot freer on the school's television program in the morning. When you got the new principal, you're not allowed to say things like heck.
You can't say heck?
No, you can't laugh about certain things. Like, you can't
what?
You can't laugh about teachers. Like, if a teacher does something funny, you can't, like, talk about it. It's just
this is North Korea.
That's kind of weird.
They can say heck there.
She's terrible, and she comes by the classrooms every once, like, every week or so, and just, like, peeks her head in to, like, make sure things are going okay.
Well, I mean, she sounds like a control freak.
And she also installed this new system in our school where the teachers have a headset they talk into, and there's speakers around the classroom, everyone can hear them. And that headset goes to this radio device, which I wish I was more familiar with radio, because I'm thinking that this is going to, you know, her office where she can monitor everybody.
They might record it even.
It's unlikely, but still, you can hear the teachers just fine. I think there's some other ulterior.
This lesson may be monitored.
I don't want to make it like we're just focusing on this one person that she's the problem. Mm-hmm. I think it's a symptom of a bigger problem throughout the country.
She's the smallest of the problems.
Mm-hmm.
The worst is when the military comes to school and they...
Well, that must be intimidating.
They walk around, you know, their shaved heads and their shiny boots.
And who else do they let in the school to, like, try and recruit young people?
That's it.
That's it.
We have college day. Mm-hmm. College comes. But that's a little bit more...
That's college day,
yeah, that's kind of... That's education, so it's not so bad.
Can you imagine if you had, like, someone from the NBA walking around, like, every day, like, trying to recruit people to play basketball or something like that, or somebody from, you know, the local supermarket or you know...
Yeah. Oh, also to make the kids want to join the military, they give them free... if you go up to the booth and you, like, listen to their sales pitch for, like, a minute or so, you get, a T-shirt or a notebook or something.
And that T-shirt advertises them even more.
Oh, yeah. And one kid, I remember last year, actually went up and got everything on the desk of the table they set up and just got his arm and pushed it all onto the ground and ran away. It was kind
of
funny.
I hope he's a friend of yours.
Actually, he was until he moved to Orlando, actually, so he's pretty close with our friends in a celebration.
Speaking of which, let's. I found the website, and what we're going to do is we're going to call information... down there, see if the town actually does exist.
It may be regarded as a small community.
Celebration.
What state?
Florida. I called that area.
What listing?
7-Eleven. Always rely on 7-Eleven.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
Please hold for operator assistance.
Uh-oh, they didn't find it. I don't know if they didn't find the state, the city, or the store.
It was a store.
7-Eleven's in Florida?
Thank you. A moment, please.
Thank you.
Not in celebration, I don't think.
She can't hear you.
No, not in celebration.
Thank you.
The number is okay. Area code 407-851-2854. Repeat.
Okay, no need for that. No need for that. Let's,
Hopefully this is right, because I didn't see any 7-Elevens there.
Well, it's the right area code, and if one of our wise guy listeners called in first, that was probably just busy, though. Okay, here we go. Let's hope they didn't beat us to it. Celebration. Town owned by Disney, you say?
Yes.
All right. Well, we'll see if the 7-Eleven's owned by Disney. Maybe Disney called them and said, don't answer the phone because you might give out some secrets inadvertently.
Yeah.
That's kind of scary.
I'll actually be going to Orlando on my way back from New York, so I can maybe go there and pick up some information and send it over. Maybe a pamphlet.
Is a phone really ringing this long in a 7-Eleven and no one's answering it?
I don't think it exists.
A phone?
No.
Oh.
Well, that certainly exists.
What happened? Disney. Hello? They hung up!
They probably don't accept phone calls from non-Disney-owned places.
Something wacky's going on down there. All right. Well, we're going to have to do some investigation into this. Celebration. I went to their website, which is www.celebrationfl.com. And let's see if we can find out anything about this particular community, which is really kind of weird. Take the best ideas from the most successful towns of yesterday and the technology of the new millennium and synthesize them into a close-knit community that meets the needs of today's families. The founders of Celebration, all caps, started down a path of research, study, discovery, and sexual enlightenment. That result. Oh no, I added a word. I'm sorry. And just seeing if you're paying attention. And enlightenment that resulted in one of the most innovative communities of the 20th century, a place where memories of a lifetime are made. Because they're probably the last memories you have. It's more than a home. It's a community rich with old-fashioned appeal and an eye on the future. Homes are a blend of traditional southeastern exteriors with welcoming front porches and interiors that enhance today's lifestyles. Oh yeah, I'll bet. I'll just bet about that. A showcase for some of the world's leading architects, Market Street at Celebration is a unique collection of charming shops and tempting eateries nestled around a dazzling lakeside promenade. Always on the menu at Market Street are flavorful styles, distinctive ambiance, and patio dining. Whether you're shopping or dining, Market Street is cause for celebration. What if you're homeless?
This is Disney speak if I've ever heard it.
In the spirit of neighborliness, Celebration residents gather at front porches, park benches, recreational areas, and downtown events, celebrating a place they call home. Celebration is a community built on a foundation of cornerstones: community, education, health, technology, and a sense of place.
I don't think people really there should be called residents with extras.
Or prisoners.
Inmates. Corporate citizenship and celebration means joining one of the most promising new towns in America, designed to integrate the best ideas of the past with the best technology for the future, a place where companies put down roots and employees plant their family trees. And there's a privacy policy, too. That's copyright Disney, by the way, it says underneath.
What's weird about how it talks about how there's so many people outside welcome you on their front porch. I was actually told that by the people that were showing us around, and that place was like a ghost town. I don't know what they're talking about. Everyone was inside feeling miserable and lived in Disney.
Okay, you know, and they're talking about the Celebration Company and all that kind of thing on this website. It's hooked up to Go Network, which is part of ABC, which is part of Disney. This is scary stuff here, and I think we need to go there.
The Epcot theme park actually was first designed to be a city like this. It stands for the Experimental Prototype City of Tomorrow, I think. But they decided to turn it into a theme park because they would make more money that way.
Unbelievable. The stories we're hearing from around this country. Celebration, Florida. You guys down for coming down there? A little road trip? Or do some filming, perhaps? And do things you're not supposed to do? I'll bet there's so many things you can't do in that town.
Probably. You probably can't speak badly about Mickey Mouse.
We were looking at the stadium here at Stony Brook. There's a brand new state. Well, it's not brand new anymore. It's a couple of years old. I don't like it because I don't like stadiums as a rule, and I like big open fields better, and I just, you know, it's ugly, but never mind that. They have all these rules and regulations for things that you're not allowed to do, and what we did before the show, which is one of the reasons why we were a little bit late, was we went and took some pictures of the signs that tell you what you can't do. What do you guys think of it off the top of your head? Just kind of crazy? Or?
I think a couple of them were kind of adding on top of each other. So something about, like, no alcoholic beverages, but you couldn't even take bottles or cans to begin with.
Let's go through the specifics. Items not allowed beyond this point. And not allowed is underlined. And I tried clicking on it. There's no link. They just underlined it. I've been in front of computers too long. And by the way, we're opening up the phone line, 631-632-9872. If you want to talk about oppression, North Korea, or hope, we're open to all those subjects and more. These are the things not allowed at the Laval Stadium here at Stony Brook. Food. All food. Food for thought. Any kind of food. Bottles.
They had a snack stand, actually, inside the stadium.
Yeah, that food's allowed.
So it's like, as long as it's not your own to begin with.
You have a comment on the food court?
You know, certain eating conditions like allergies or diabetes.
Exactly.
I guess you're just not allowed to go into the stadium.
Maybe. Let's see, bottles, glass or plastic. Is there any other kind of bottles that maybe we could sneak in there because it's not glass or plastic?
Clay.
Clay bottles.
Clay, ooh.
That's like a pot, though, or something.
Not a hole.
Cans, no cans. No thermoses, no cookers. No alcoholic beverages. You know, I mean, you know, sporting events, alcoholic beverages, they kind of
go hand in hand.
Potato chips. You can't even bring potato chips in there. What? I mean, how is that fun?
Specifically say potato chips?
Well no, but that's food.
Oh, okay, yes.
Although, I'm not sure if it really, I mean, Ronald Reagan would have said that was food, but...
Of course you cannot bring food in there, because if you bring your own food, you're not going to buy their food. Most places have something like that.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. Is that fair, though? Also, large bags. You can't bring a large bag in there. Now, who decides what a large bag is?
Where do you draw the line between a backpack and a large bag?
I mean, a dime bag, I guess, is a small bag, right? Mm. So that would be permitted. That's what they're saying.
So backpack is not.
I can bring a bag of marijuana in there, but I can't bring a hefty bag filled with teddy bears.
No,
I can't do that. Oh, I haven't gotten to that part yet.
Okay,
fine. Noisemakers. What's a crowd? A crowd of people is a noisemaker, I think.
Yeah.
Boy, they call the fun. Weapons, no weapons. Well, gee, that's a no-brainer. Illegal substances, laser pointers. You can't bring laser pointers. Clothing containing vulgar language. Would peace
like
be considered?
Peace slogans.
Yeah,
at
peace slogans.
At my school it is.
Fireworks. You know, it's interesting. When I was watching Euro 2004, when Greece won, I think, the semifinal, somebody lit off fireworks inside the stadium.
Mm-hmm. It happens. Soccer games, even though they have pretty good security most of the times. But
well, they were on top of it pretty quickly. But, yeah, it is kind of, like, startling to the people around you.
What
but then
kind
again,
of fireworks did they have? So, like, usually the distress flares for boats? That's
it might have been something
like
that.
Yeah,
it might have been something like that. But, you know, going to your hangout where you live in Amsterdam on New Year's.
That's different fireworks-wise.
But can you describe that for us? People just celebrating?
What way to describe it? Basically, in Holland, they start selling fireworks 2 or 3 days before New Year's Eve. And mm-hmm. I don't know, but people don't know the exact numbers, but people spend like millions on fireworks. And from starts at around 10 to midnight, and at midnight, New Year's Eve, it really heads off. Basically, everybody just lights fireworks.
You're standing in a crowd of people. I remember a real crowd of people, and the fireworks are just going off to the left and right.
Using their empty champagne bottles to fire bottle rockets, and that happens, lasts for a couple of hours.
And you really don't see any police. They're there, but you don't see them, and they seem to be having
fun.
But
in general, we have way less police per 100,000 people.
I counted five cops last New Year's Eve total.
But what can they do?
Together.
They were all standing together. That's right.
Yeah.
They were all standing together.
Yeah, it's a party for them, too. Come on. It's like it's boring if they're all...
We were talking about this last week when the Greeks won Euro 2004, how the police in Greece were just dancing with the crowd, and how that doesn't happen here in the States. The police don't dance with us. We try, but they don't. They just won't do it. They just stand there stoically, you know.
During the fireworks, how many people like are reported to get hurt?
I think the people that do get hurt are mostly drunk when they light off their fireworks and like light up a firecracker and then take a sip of beer and forget to throw it away or something like that. That kind of stuff happens.
Yeah, that's inevitable, and that happens here too.
Yeah.
Even with all the restrictions and frowning cops that don't dance.
Exactly.
631-632-9872. No calls on the line, so maybe we're offending people with our rebelliousness here. But let's continue with the list of things that you cannot do here at Stony Brook if you go into the stadium, which, by the way, was open. I could have walked right in.
Yeah,
I've never done
that.
You
want to walk in? Be checked.
Let's walk in after the show and see what happens, because the gate was open. I've never seen it open.
Closed
before.
Now, though.
They don't listen to us.
Okay.
I have food with me, because I have some food restrictions, so I have to bring some of my own stuff.
Wow. Okay, well, we'll test it. We'll test the system.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, what else? Aerosol cans. You can't bring aerosol cans. I guess you could puncture them and light them. And
I think in general it's...
They could explode.
Yeah.
Half of that list could have been shortened down to anything you can throw at somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Like the bottles and the cans and stuff like that. As long as you can throw at it, they don't want you to have it.
Can't bring pets. No pets.
Ah.
Pets aren't allowed. That's the difference between here and Europe. Pets can go places. They can go on the train, you know. They
true.
Of course.
Walk into stores and things like that.
No.
Why not?
Some stores, yes. Yeah, some stores, no. I think the only stores which post, like, signs against dogs are some grocery stores and, like, butcher's places and stuff like that where, like, food hygiene
but,
Hanukkah, is a thing.
But, you think it's odd that we don't allow pets on, say, the subway?
Yes. So, if you want to go somewhere and you want to take your cat for the weekend...
Mm-hmm.
What do you do if you have no car?
Yeah. I guess you're in trouble then. Or, you know, what I see in Germany, what I see in Holland and very many other places is just a dog walking on a leash inside the subway.
Mm-hmm.
Gets on the subway car, yeah. Lies down, and gets up when he's ready to go. And
you expect to pay for the dogs,
you
by
pay
the way.
For the dogs.
Yeah, you pay
you pay half price.
Yeah,
for
really.
The children's ticket you get for your dog.
Uh-huh.
But if it's a small dog and it fits in a bag, the dog travels for free.
Yeah.
And I once saw
a
this
small
woman.
Child that fits in a bag is all the same thing?
Same thing.
Okay.
That's actually true. I think until you're 4 years old, you don't have to pay for transit.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
I once saw this woman who had a really big dog, like a Labrador or something, mm-hmm. and she had a huge bag. And when the conductor was coming along in the train, she unfolded the bag, she let the dog step into the bag, and she closed it.
Both that dog and that bag would have been prohibited from Stony Brook Stadium. There's no large bags either. In addition, no pepper spray. Hear that, Stony Brook security? No pepper spray. So if we get out of hand, you're going to have to figure out something else. What else? I'm reading off a photograph that I took before. Let's see. We got the clothing with vulgar language. We've got any item deemed by management inappropriate or dangerous.
That's a usual disclaimer, I guess.
Shirt?
Where can we get that list, the deemed...
Well, I think they deem it on the spot.
Oh.
And they also say in red, this is a smoke-free facility.
Woohoo!
So,
which is good, I think.
Yeah. All right, we have some phone calls. Are we go to the phone line? 631-632-9872. We're here with Hanukkah and Sasha from Amsterdam and A-Team from Florida, where mind control is the latest thing. We'd like to hear what you have to say. Good evening. You're on.
Hey, what's happening?
How you doing? Where are you calling from?
Actually, I'm calling from the Earth, Space, and Sciences building.
Here on campus?
Campus, one of those free phones that are
wow.
all silver-colored, like stainless steel.
Uh-huh.
I'm a long-time fan of Brain Damage. I've recently been listening to them. I downloaded them, and I just can't believe how amazing the show is. You know, was. I listened to it from... 88 until when it stopped. It's
well, 1988 is the last year we're going to be putting up because that was the first year, and that's what we're going to be working on next.
It's just amazing. I wrote down a couple of things I wanted to run by you. What's the deal with the pink phones in Isatorket?
Yeah, on Route 25A, by the Japanese place. I saw that.
I sent you an email. I don't know if you got it, like, last month about that.
Well, a lot of people have been talking to me about that. It's a talk of the town, pink phones. What gives?
And actually, the phone was taken out, so now it's just empty. no phone, just the booth is there. But
a little thing like that. Someone painting phones pink. You'd be amazed how many people notice, and it can change lives.
Yeah, I thought it might have something to do with, like, you know, 2600 because of the phone, you know. Maybe it's unrelated, though.
Our hands are clean on this one.
All right. Yeah, I wanted to ask, is anybody, do you know if anybody else has driven across the bridge here at campus besides myself? You know, I figured I'd ask that question because it's like trivia because it doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, well, you better not try now because the bridge got torn down. Are you referring to the old bridge to nowhere that was built from this building that we're in right now, the Union Building, across to the library? However, because the library was accidentally built backwards, the bridge wasn't able to connect to the other side of the library. You did see the other side of the bridge. That still exists on the other side of the library. But for many years, the bridge just stopped, and it became a symbol of state incompetence. And then they built the Fine Arts Center to the left of the library, and the bridge made a left-hand turn and went there.
Right, so there's two ways. You can go to Fine Arts and straight to the library, right?
Yeah, but then they tore down the bridge, I think it was last year.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't exist, and it's I guess it didn't really serve much of a purpose at all.
I drove my 1976 B-210 across the bridge with a friend of mine, because he went to school here, back in, I think, 84.
Uh-huh.
And I found my way on the campus because it was a lot easier with the cars. Didn't have all these big boulders in the way. Wow. Drove across just for the kick of it because I was like 22.
Uh-huh.
Just crazy. And then we backed our, you know, drove it reversed. And one of the public safety saw us just as we were coming off, but they didn't see us on the bridge. They saw us just entering, like, the road by where the parking garages. So,
well, I've driven my car almost every place you're not supposed to drive it on campus. I'm not sure if I ever actually drove on the bridge, probably because I was afraid that thing wouldn't hold a car. But I did help somebody carry stuff to a car that was parked on the bridge because they were handicapped and they were going to the radio station, and I guess they felt that was the closest they could get.
So I think I hold the record for the only person that'll, I guess, admit to doing it over the air. But
And then a side story to that is that there's a handicap ramp right by the bridge as it connects to the building. It's the only handicap ramp I know of with a blind 90-degree turn on it. So if two people in wheelchairs are coming from different sides of the building, they will collide and not have any idea that the other one is coming. I've never seen that before. And that's a typical Stony Brook thing right there.
I'm kind of disappointed in the campus because there's not much going on here. You know, I've taken a few classes over the past, like, 15 years here towards my master's. I have a BA, but just life on campus is much more boring.
It is. It is. And I was talking to A-Team about this earlier. Do you remember the rock on Nichols Road? It's still there.
There's a couple of them. They've been painted. Yeah, I know which one you mean.
The big rock used to be painted every single week by somebody, anti-war activists or just, you know, goofy teens or whatever. And, in October it would be orange because of Halloween. And they made it a crime to touch the rock, and they have these big spotlights on it now, and it's just boring. It was such a creative and artistic type of a thing, and I wish somebody, and I'm sorry if this goes against, the current state of the nation, I wish somebody would paint the rock again and bring free speech back to Nichols Road. But everybody's afraid. And we have all these stupid fraternity rocks all over campus. We didn't have fraternities here before, but that kind of takes everybody's energy away and points it into something useless.
Well, things are... 1984 will happen, and it's just a matter of time.
Mm-hmm. Well, 1984, we were talking about the conference. That certainly was the theme. It's 20 years after 1984, 2600 was founded in 1984,
right.
And we had all these posters up with 1984 emblems on them. And we also showed three different versions of the film, 1984, including the rare, really rare BBC version from the 50s. So, yeah, 1984, it's happened already in many ways, and it's going to continue happening in other ways. And
we want to make that relates to 1984, this will happen.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a time where you won't be able to get your license unless something's installed in your car. There's going to be sensors all along the highways, and if you get in trouble with the police or whatever, they'll be able to track where you are.
It's for your own protection. It's to keep you safe.
If you didn't pay your child support or whatever, like, in other words, wherever you go on the main highway, there'll be sensors that will be able to, like, things will transmit from your cars to these sensors.
Sir, do you want deadbeat dads traveling on the same roads as you?
I guess not.
Yeah, of course. It's up for everybody's benefit.
I don't know. It's just, I lived in Germany. I visited Holland so many times when I was living in Germany when I was in the Army in 1980. I just found society to be much more freer and open-minded and just better. I went to Amsterdam. I mean, people just more relaxed and friendly, and, you know, government wasn't controlling everything. It's just, you know, just a lot better.
What do you think, Sasha? Is that an accurate assessment?
In a way, yeah, I think so. I think the interaction between people is different in both countries, and you get less intervention in your average day lives back home in Holland, I think. But we also have like rules for a lot of stupid stuff, which you don't really notice if you live there or if you visit. And if you live there, then you notice that you need to apply for all kinds of permits when you do stuff, and that's basically everywhere. And I think everywhere you go, like here, one thing I notice is there's like even in apartment buildings on doors, it's like working like building permits. And I'm like, yeah, but if I want to build in my apartment back home, I don't need a permit because it's my own apartment.
Yeah, you have to ask. People buy houses here so that they can have a situation where somebody can tell them what color they can paint it to fit into the neighborhood. We went into this a long time ago.
Yeah, but that's
controlled communities.
That's kind of the thing you don't notice when you're somewhere visiting, because that's only the layer you see when you talk to locals. And
hey, thanks for your call. We're going to see if we can get any others.
Thank you.
All right, 631-632-9872. I know several people were calling during that. Please don't give up. Keep calling back. You said your neighborhood is like this?
Yes, my mom's neighborhood, which my parents are split up, and my mom's neighborhood, if you want to do anything to your house, you have to mail a letter asking, can I do this to my home?
Like what kind of
outside.
Things?
Like
demolish it, perhaps?
Painting. I wish we could demolish it. we actually put up a pool in the backyard, and we didn't ask because we knew it was against the, terms of service, I'd say.
Uh-huh.
And it's just insane.
Good evening, you're on.
Emmanuel.
How you doing? Where are you calling from?
It's Chris calling from Melbourne, Australia. How you going?
Oh, wow, Melbourne, Australia. How are you?
No bad. I called a few months ago.
What's on your mind?
What that guy was saying about the military and the school reminds me of an old sticker I saw. Simply said, join the army, travel the world, go to interesting countries, meet interesting people, and kill them.
Yep, we've all seen that one. So what's the story in Australia?
I wanted to ask a question, and that is, unfortunately I didn't get to the Fifth Hope, but I was considering going to Germany later in the year, and I was wondering, do they do many talks in English and that sort of thing? Would it be worth my while going?
We're talking about the CCC Congress later in the year? Is that what we're talking about?
Yep.
Okay, yeah, well, you know, they always try to do more in English, and I heard it again this year. This year we're going to try to do more things in English. You know, I don't know German. I know what it sounds like, but I don't understand it. I can a little bit, I guess. But it's always a blast to be there just talking to people, and most of them speak English anyway. And you don't need to be able to understand every single talk, whether it's too technical, whether it's in a different language. I think the real thrust of it all is to be there and to be amongst people that you can relate to, and just to see how things work in a different country. So I would enthusiastically say, yes, it's worth going.
Right, okay.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, because, I've been to a few conferences down here and 2600 meetings and that, but wouldn't mind expanding the horizons a bit.
Yeah, and, you know, I would like to go to a conference in Australia, and I don't understand Australian, so I'm willing to do that.
Okay, when are you coming down under?
You scheduled a hacker conference during the same weekend as this one.
I know, yeah, RaxCon. Oh, dear.
That kind of thing isn't going to get me over there anytime soon. I mean, how can I be in two places at once?
Yeah, I didn't get to go to either of them, unfortunately. But, apparently that went pretty well, too.
So now, in Australia, tell us, what's the deal with military in classrooms? Is that kind of thing permitted or encouraged?
I don't think it's as often. When I was in school, they came along and sort of handed out the obligatory stickers and that sort of thing. But, I think there's a little bit more dissent to that sort of thing. At the moment, I don't know what it's like in schools, but generally the population's pretty jacked off with the government simply because they've just, committed us to war.
Well, what's the story with Australia and the war? Are you guys in it for the long haul? Do you have a date you're leaving or anything like that?
Well, we've just committed more troops to it.
You did?
Yeah, I think a minuscule number, about 30 more troops. Mm-hmm. It's been interesting. The leader of the opposition has annoyed the United States of America. Probably wouldn't have heard about it, but they had a policy of the troops out before Christmas. And that really annoyed the United States.
So, have you had any casualties, Australian casualties?
No, thank God. although there's very little news about it. I mean, I watch the news here, and as I said last time I talked to him, my favourite outlet's BBC World, and and wherever I look, I don't really find much news on what Australians are doing. I'd like to know that they're okay. I'd also like to know that not getting involved in prisoner abuses or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But what I do know is that there haven't been any casualties.
Okay, well, I wish we could say the same thing, but obviously we can't. And I'm certain that that's not the case over in Iraq for all the citizens there. But, you know, this year is shaping up to be one of the most interesting ones in a long time. We have two major political conventions coming up in the next month or so. We have an election that's going to be happening, and hopefully people will speak.
And this year, too, here, what I'm hoping is you get Bush out and we get our idiot out, and maybe the world will be a better place.
And who is your idiot? Was it Howard?
Yeah, John Howard. Yeah. He's a moron.
Well, no, wait a minute. Remember who you're dealing with here, okay? Now, Bush is the king of the morons. All right, so don't use that term.
Howard's his deputy. I'm not sure if you know, but George Bush referred to Australia as America's deputy sheriff in the region. Did you ever hear that?
No, I never heard that one.
Yeah, and all the Australians, all of Australia, apart from the government, of course, was cringing in a big way.
You see, John Howard doesn't say things like that. He can string a sentence together, I'll bet. I've never heard him talk, but I'll bet he can actually like find his country on a globe. Things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I think you can do that, yes.
Things that give Bush pause. All right, listen, thanks a lot. We'll see you sometime.
Yeah, no worries. I hope to see you here in Australia at some point.
All right, I'd love to see it there. I really would. New Zealand, too.
Okay, have a good one.
Take care. You know, one thing I heard, though, on the elevator going up and down at the conference, they have these little propaganda things on the elevator. I mean, you know, it's the hotel, it's the way they do things, whatever, but it's just kind of funny. Whenever you're going from one floor to the other during the conference, this little TV sort of turns on and starts giving you CNN headline news. And I wind up seeing the same story over and over again. And one story that I saw, and you're only in the elevator for a few seconds, so you just get bits and pieces of it. One story I saw a couple of times was that the United States had surpassed a grim marker of 1,000 troops killed. And I don't understand how that happened, because only a week ago it was something like 800. I don't think we lost 200 troops in 1 week, so somebody started adding more troops. Maybe they added troops that died later.
Maybe it's just Americans in general who died?
I don't know.
I don't know, because there's like a lot of private contractors there, of course, which are not considered to be army, but
they've always been counting a certain number, and now they suddenly changed the way they count it. So it threw me for a loop. If anyone out there understands what happened, please let me know, because I'm awfully confused right now. otw@2600.com is our email address. We're out of time, folks, so any last words from you foreigners? Florida?
Really. Come visit me.
What can people do to help the poor people of Florida?
Well, if you can come down and teach us how to vote, that would be very helpful.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's infiltrate Celebration. I think that's because Celebration is different than Disney World, because you don't have to pay to get in. And they really can't turn you away.
Your house.
You do have to pay for your home.
But I can go down there and I can go to 7-Eleven and won't pick up their phones, and I can get a Slurpee or something like that and stick around the parking lot for a while and mutter things. So, you know, if a bunch of us do that, who knows? Could be a turning the tide. I'd like to see election results from Celebration, see how they vote.
I don't think they're allowed to vote, no. They can vote for Disney staff, that's about it.
Hanukkah, Sasha, of course, you'll be heading back to Amsterdam soon.
Yeah, we're leaving on Thursday.
Well, it's great to see you here in this country again.
It was really good being here. So
hope to see you in your country.
It's always good being here. So.
Yeah, and we're going to do the Trans-Siberian thing sometime, too. That's going to be a lot of fun. All right, so we'll be on Off the Hook tomorrow night on the other station and back here again next week talking about something else. So, Emmanuel Goldstein for Off the Wall. Have yourselves a very good night. Stay awake. Send us email at otw@2600.com. Let us know what you find. There's always something out there. Good night.
Time for the rubber plants to get rid of itself. It was around.
Hi, this is Abel Collins. When I'm out in Stony Brook, I'll be listening to WUSB FM station. When I want to listen to some good blues, that's the station you tune into.